あれ。Awake. Hello. Welcome. Welcome to another episode of Prospect Street. My name is Mike Saglambini, and I'll be your host. Each week, I'll discuss different aspects from arguably one of the best horror movies of all time, The Exorcist. Turn your lights down. Get comfortable. And turn your speakers up.
Somewhere between science and superstition, there is another world. The world of darkness. Nobody expected it.
All right, well, let's see what they do.
Nobody believed it. And nothing could stop it.
There are no experts. You probably know as much about possession as most priests. Look, your daughter doesn't say she's a demon. She says she's the devil himself.
I'm telling you that that thing upstairs isn't my daughter. Now, I want you to tell me that you know for a fact that there's nothing wrong with my daughter except in her mind. You tell me you know for a fact that an exorcism wouldn't do any good. You tell me that!
The one hope, the only hope, The Exorcist.
Welcome back. That trailer brings back lots of memories for me. I got to think back to 1982 when I first encountered The Exorcist. I was about 9 years old at the time. I was at my neighbor's house. They were the only house on the block that had cable service, and they had HBO. It was definitely sometime in the fall. It could have been October, because it definitely had that Halloween vibe going on. But I remember walking through their living room and being stopped dead in my tracks by a horrific sight. Of course, it was the crucifix masturbation scene, and I did not realize exactly what I was seeing. I just knew that it was something that was horrific. At this point in the movie, Linda Blair starts to take on this this demonic persona, and she is grotesque looking. But for me, as a 9-year-old boy, I was stopped dead in my tracks, as I said, and I was scared shitless. I watched the movie from that point to the end, closing credits, just awestruck. Not quite sure what I saw, but I was scared. It wouldn't be for another at least 4 years that I would see the movie again. I guarded myself from seeing the movie or hearing anything remotely close to Tubular Bells, but man, has this movie had an impact on me. Hey guys, what I'm going to try right now, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to play a clip from the movie, and afterwards we're going to discuss a little bit. All right, so here we go.
Can you help an old altar boy, Father?
I'm a Catholic. Yeah, I'm not too sure he's a Catholic, but in any event, this is a good scene. One of my favorites by far. It's unfortunate. This scene gets overlooked by many people. Not quite sure why. It's a very passive scene. Possibly that's why. But just to set you up here with this scene, we have here our young priest, Father Damien Karras, who happens to be a Jesuit priest and a psychiatrist. He is waiting for this train and a subway station. And he is besieged by this old vagrant, this old wino. And he's asked for money. Surprisingly, Damien does not respond. He's actually unresponsive. He stares ahead into this darkness, and we see this man, and he's repulsive. He's laying down in a puddle of his own urine, and he doesn't give up. After he asks for money, he tries a second time, and he throws in the fact that he was an old altar boy. But the priest continues to stare out and does not offer to help him. As the listener or as the viewer, we are conflicted because we can't understand why. We know that Damey is conflicted for many reasons right now. His mom being ill, living on her own. His lost faith within the church. But we cannot understand why he's not helping this helpless homeless man. Oddly enough, later on in the film, this wino makes an appearance again. As the demon taunts Damey for his lack of compassion. So it's pretty interesting how Damien is able to redeem himself later on in the movie, because when he is asked for help again, this time from this tortured little girl, he steps up and he does give his help. So he does redeem himself. And ultimately at the end of the movie, he redeems himself completely because he sacrificed himself as Jesus did for us. So when you look at this movie and you reflect back, this is one of the scenes that jumps out the most because it's beautifully done. The lighting, the sound, and the foreshadowing and the symbolism. Okay, guys, well, I am nearing the end of my introductory podcast, and I'm left with some closing remarks. This movie is a theatrical masterpiece, and I don't say that about many films. I mean, you got Godfather 1, Scarface, Raging Bull, The Deer Hunter, anything with De Niro, Shawshank Redemption, but I don't have too many of them, but this movie is up right up there. I've seen this movie so many times over the years that I can't even count anymore. But I have to say that it's very interesting because I never watch this movie in its entirety anymore. I just kind of watch it at certain parts and then I'll stop and I'll pick something out. Just recently, last week, in fact, I was watching the scene where Damien is finishing his jog around the track in Georgetown, and he's stopped by Lieutenant Kinderman, and right before he's about to start walking with Kinderman, he puts the towel around his neck, and then he puts that, I guess it's either an orange peel or a lemon peel in his mouth for hydration. But it's funny, the many times that I've seen this film, I've never picked that part out, and just the other day, you know, and that's really what it's like. Today, I look at this movie as a fine piece of multimedia art. This movie is so unique and so different. This movie is often described as a slow burn, and it's so true. I mean, watching this movie from the beginning in Iraq to the end in Georgetown after that harrowing event, you realize that the way this movie methodically goes from almost documentary style archaeology dig to this dramatic turn of supernatural events, I mean, it's just amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, guys, this is pretty much the end, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in to the introductory podcast of Prospect Street. I'm hopeful you have figured out why I named this podcast Prospect Street. If not, you'll have to tune in next time. Next time, I'll talk about the year 1973, a pregnant mother and her husband, they actually attend the premiere of The Exorcist. The actual movie causes the woman to throw up on her husband's brand new shoes. Can you guess who that baby is? If you'd like to reach me or give me some feedback, I like to call it questions, comments, or cries of outrage. You can reach me at mtsags@AOL. So that's mtsags@AOL. Or you can check me out at Facebook on my Facebook page at Prospect Street. Well, until next time, guys.
Dimmi, why you do this to me? Please, Dimmi, I'm afraid. Dimmi, please.